Hey friends, we want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. Alan and Trent here. So glad to be with you as we get into spring and as our sinuses kick up and all of this kind of stuff. So Trent, I'm here with my coffee. I've got cough drops. I'm good to go. How about you?
So there's no telling. This time of year, there's all kinds of stuff floating around. But hey, we're excited to be able to do this. And we're glad that you've taken time to listen to us today. And so Alan, I came across an article that I want us to talk through today. And there are some things I agree with and some things I really don't agree with. And so do you ever have that situation where we talk about something online that you don't agree with?
Yeah. Trent, this is a great example too. Like, you found this link and it was such a neat article. We read it. You're like, oh, I don't agree with all of that. And so we look up the source, and then we're like, I really don't agree with a lot of the source, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to put the link in there because this is not just, these are not our five things we're going to talk about today. But, you know, I think we're in a day where people say, well, I only read stuff where I agree with everything. And that's not healthy for us. Mm-hmm. We need to find ways where we are well-read, that we read things that we don't always agree with, things that we don't necessarily like. But we also need to recognize truthful statements and good statements wherever they come from. I think that's really important for us to just be well-read and also look for places where there is agreement, because I think that's helpful for us.
Yeah, it seems like in our cancel society anymore that people don't even give the opportunity to hear from someone they don't agree with. And we need to be challenged so that not only we can understand what they're saying, but it helps us to formulate our responses and to show what we believe. And so I think that's important for us to be able to do and to be able to listen. We talk about that a lot here on our podcast, is to be able to listen to others. And this is an area I think it's very important that we listen.
Yeah, and so this was an article that was called Five Things that You Must Experience as a Pastor. Anyhow, we'll put the link in. You can go and research where we got it. But we want to talk about the content that was in here today.
Yeah, so the five things, just real briefly, I'm going to tell you the title of each of these, and then we'll go back and talk through them. The first one is withdrawal of followers. Second is betrayal from friends. Third is rejection from your seniors. Fourth is silence from heaven. And fifth is attacks from Satan. This sounds like a very uplifting podcast, right? It's all negative stuff, right? But some of these I can really agree with. And even the title, the first line I can agree with, but maybe some of the things he says about those I don't agree with. But let's just kind of break these down, Alan, and see kind of what we think about each of these.
Yeah, and I think the point behind the article is this idea that when you're a leading, there are going to be times that you feel like you're standing alone, that you're standing against popular opinion. There's these moments where you just kind of look around and you feel like you're David writing the next psalm, right? You don't know where things are coming from. And I think we all go through that. But I do think there's perspective to be had with each one of these. And so maybe we could reframe the perspective on some of these as well as we go through them today. So, withdrawal of followers, any pastor who's never lost some sheep has never pastored, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I totally agree with that. And I was telling a group of pastors yesterday that it was always hard for me not to take it real personal when somebody left our church. But that happens all the time. People, unfortunately, I think, don't always stick with the same church. Maybe it's, I can also say, though, Alan, that I believe God calls people to churches, not just pastors, I think. And so it's, one of those things that's like, okay, God, are you calling them away or am I running them away? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance, because pastors, if you've ever changed churches, that's more disruptive to your church than a church member leaving the church because they are in conflict with you or something like that. So remember, too, you didn't go to that church, and you've probably, in most cases, not the only pastor they've ever known. And so pastors change. Congregations change. It's just the reality of what we do. And you do have to have some thick skin. But the ones that get you are sometimes people you thought you were really close to who just surprise you one day. They don't show up. And then you hear that they're mad at you and they leave and you didn't see it coming. And those hurt. And the reality is that's going to happen to you. It's painful. But like you said, you have to find a way to kind of reframe that in your mind and work your way through it.
Yeah, and so let me flip this around. If you are the receiving pastor of somebody who has left another church and then is coming to your church, then I would warn you to have a conversation with those people and ask them, you know, why is it that you're, changing from the church you were at to our church? And if they say something about they're upset or angry about something, I would encourage them, and I did do this, I would encourage them to go back to their pastor and have a conversation before they come to our church to reconcile that, to overcome that. And if they choose to stay there, that's great. Or if they do come, that they've forgiven and been able to move on.
Yeah, that's really important. So you're going to have followers withdrawal. That's probably the easiest one for me to completely agree with. In this one. The second one is betrayal from friends. And that's kind of a similar thing. And that's what we were talking about, those who are really close to you. But John, I want to read a line and let you respond to it. It says, don't trust anyone who claims friendship with you. Even trusting yourself is dangerous. What do you think about that?
Well, I can agree with the trusting myself is dangerous part. But the first part, don't trust anyone who claims friendship with you. I think that mindset led to what you and I, we talked about this a whole lot, that were taught in seminary not to get real close to the people in our churches. And I think that's a terrible idea. I totally disagree with that part.
Yeah, that's certainly true. And then not only that, this idea that there's another statement, do not talk of others. Don't think everyone is loving, caring, reliable as you. You know, trusting yourself is dangerous, but don't think everyone's as great as you, basically. That seems a little bit duplicitous there to me. But, you know, we need to be careful about thinking about how great we are and how bad everyone else is. Other people aren't bad. In fact, I think if you trust people more times than not, you're going to be right. So I would actually kind of take that the opposite side. Jesus brought in a band of followers. One of them was a complete scoundrel, but he knew that, and he still allowed him in his inner circle. And I think that we see the model of Jesus was, I still call you friends. And when he prayed for them, he called all of them friends, even the one who was going to betray him. And I think that's important for us to remember. And so I say you still build friendships. You still build trust.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah, and I believe it is it in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 where it says that love hopes the best or thinks the best of others, and we need to be doing that. You know, if we're always leery of people, then we're never going to let them within an arm's reach of us. And I think that you, being a pastor, you get to show and share your heart with people. And you also get to learn about their hearts, too.
Yeah, the truth is you're going to get betrayed. The untruth is that you have to live in fear of that and change how you are because of that. I think you should still get in there, make friendships, knowing that sometimes you're going to get hurt, but that's what happens in this life. But you keep doing it because that's what God calls us to do. So, you know, it's going to happen. But it's how we view that, I think, that makes the difference.
Yeah, I would agree. And so the third one that he brings out in this article, I a lot of this I can really identify with. It's rejection from your seniors. And he's talking about those people who are ahead of you in experience, in ministry, that they may not accept you into their groups and all that. And I remember having that thought in my head when I was a new pastor, is like, how come these, you know, guys don't let me hang out with them? And it really wasn't that they weren't letting me hang out with them. It's just that they had friends that they had developed for a long period of time, and I wasn't on their radar. I mean, and it wasn't that they were being hateful or mean. It's just that I wasn't part of their group, and they didn't think about me that way. So I needed to learn and grow and then get to know them slowly, and then they allowed me to be part of their groups.
Yeah, I think we all have a natural tendency to build our own forms of cliques, whatever that may be. It could be, you know, well, the seminary group and the non-seminary group. It could be older pastors, younger pastors. You know, there's this rage today, something that's really popular, to have these young pastor type networks, which is great in some capacities, but is bad in other ways. What we need is intergenerational relationships. I need to learn from people who have already made some mistakes that I might be walking into. We talked about wrong turns last week. I need people who've made some wrong turns to keep me from making some wrong turns. You know, I need to follow their lead. And if I don't build those relationships with other people who've been through it, then that's worse on me. Now, there's also times where people are still fighting battles that went on years ago, and you can't waste your time with that. And so, yeah, I think there's times where maybe our seniors don't like, you know, where we're going, or maybe lament some of the changes in church life. But I think we need to hear the why. You know, it was impactful at one point in time, and maybe it's not as impactful today. But what have we done to replace it? What are we doing that's impactful? You know, do we have a better solution? I think we need to ask more questions in this area. And I would encourage people, build relationships with your seniors in ministry. Don't assume that they're looking down on you.
Yeah. And you know what, Alan, the really sad part is you and I are the seniors now. I mean, honestly, that's the big reason we started doing this podcast, is that we had all this experience in ministry we wanted to pass on to other people. And so, you know, looking at it from that point of view, am I allowing younger people to meet and to be a part of my groups? And I can honestly say, yeah, I have a group of younger ministers that I get to visit with, and I love that. Man, I'm learning stuff from them, and I hope they're learning something from me. But I really enjoy that.
Yeah, I love the courage that many of our young pastors have today and the passion they have for what they're doing. To me, it's a breath of fresh air, and I love to see that. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for all of them. And I'm grateful for the people who've got more experience than me. Mm-hmm. That still pour into me. I've got four or five people who've had my role at different times in their ministry who are in my association. I am grateful. I can call on any of them, and I know they're going to give me good sound advice and give me a perspective. Even if they don't have the same perception of where we're at, they're going to give me good advice. I'm grateful for that. Yeah. Well, Trent, the fourth one, I think we've all experienced this one. The silence from heaven. I know there have been times in my life where I'm like, God, where are you? And so this is one I wholeheartedly can stand behind, because I think we all go through these seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's times, it seems like either it's a time of conflict, maybe, where we're needing God to fix something or answer something. Or sometimes, I was talking with a pastor yesterday, that he was telling and sharing with the group about a time when he was longing for baptisms and opportunities to share his faith, but it seemed like those doors just weren't opening. And so that silence from heaven is like, okay, God, I want to do your will. I want to share your word. I want to see baptisms happen in our church, but it's just like a dry time. And so, you know, why is it that we have those, Alan? What's the issue that's causing us not to be hearing from God?
Yeah, maybe sometimes it's just not an issue. You know, I do think there are times where God is doing things behind the scenes, and we think he's silent, and he's not really silent. Mm-hmm. And so I think most of the silent times are, there's certainly silent times because I'm not plugged in the way I need to in my own spiritual walk. But I think there's just other times where God is busy doing things that I'm not seeing. And I need to trust that he's at work, because he's always at work.
Yeah, he is. And that's what scripture says, is that he's always at work. And we need to do what Henry Blackaby always said, and it's find out where God is working and go join him there, instead of sitting and waiting, saying, God, I've got these plans, come bless my plans. Instead, asking genuinely, God, what is it that you want to do? What is it that you're already doing?
Absolutely. That's great advice. And I think following Blackaby's advice on that is, it can be really helpful for us in that, because they're just silent times, or dry times as well. We're going to go through spiritually dry times, and maybe that's not the same as silence, but we go through times where our spiritual ebb and flow is a little bit up and down as well. And we're all going to experience that. No one is always riding high in their faith. We see that over and over again in the Bible, from the greatest carriers of our faith, that they all went through kind of spiritual struggles from time to time. And then Trent, the fifth one in here was attacks from Satan. And certainly we know that our enemy is out to attack our churches today.
Oh, he is. And you can see it. And as we talk to ministers and talk with churches all over the place, it's really, really evident sometimes that you can see that the church is wanting to do the right things, but they're just battling. And there's so many things that are coming against them that it has to be Satan's attacks against them.
Yeah, the enemy, the Bible compares him to a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And, I don't have a lion, but I do have a cat. And my cat likes to stalk things. She likes to wait and ambush and hurt and destroy, that because that's what she does. I mean, that's her instincts. And our enemy's instinct is to hide until he finds a moment to pounce on us. And so in our moments of weakness, he's going to pounce on us. In our moments of doubts, he's going to pounce on us. He's going to do everything he can do to try to get an upper hand in our churches. And the first place he oftentimes tries to go is to the leader of the church. And so you're going to be attacked. You're going to be put into situations where the enemy's looking for an opportunity, looking for one of your own weaknesses that he can pounce on and take advantage of. And I was told a long time ago that, it usually involves sex, money, or power. And he's going to look for an opportunity, and he's going to attack us in those areas over and over and over again.
Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons why we tell pastors, you need to have some time off. Because when you're tired, your defenses are weak. And so, I was talking with a pastor that he hadn't had a day off in over 3 years. And I was like, you're ripe for Satan's attacks because of that. You need to have some time to be refreshed and renewed and to build up that armor again so that you can handle the attacks of Satan. And you also, pastors, if you're listening to this, you need a prayer team that's praying for you, praying for protection for you.
Yeah, you'll never go any further than the people who are praying for you. Mm. I mean, build up that team. And sometimes you don't know who they are. I'm so grateful for the people who randomly send me notes that, I'm praying for you today. And that means so much. Mm-hmm. And it does just strengthen you up to know that people are praying for you. And Trent, I want to tie all of these together in a little bit of a way too. Well, if we go back to the very beginning, you're going to lose some sheep sometimes, and you're going to be betrayed sometimes, and you're going to feel rejected sometimes. But our call is to love and feed the sheep. That is the calling that we have. And when we do that, we know we carry a responsibility. And if we carry that responsibility well, we're going to be alert and mindful of what the enemy's doing. And we're going to be on guard against those things. And that's what we're supposed to do. And I think a lot of it comes from this idea that if I'll love God the way I'm supposed to, and I'll love my sheep the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to be a better pastor, a better church leader for that.
Yes, I agree, Alan. And that's our goal is to, and that's what Jesus, when he was asked, what were the greatest commands? He said to love the Father with all that you are. And then that overflows into loving our neighbor as ourself. And so we're supposed to do those things, working on that. And so I would encourage you to get close to the people that God has allowed you to pastor and get to know their hearts, get to know their stories. So this article we're talking through, we'll put the link in our notes there for you. But the things that we read, we don't always agree with, but we're willing to be challenged, and we want to encourage you to be challenged as well. And so, Alan, is there anything else we need to finish up with this morning?
I just want to say, too, on this article that, you know, I appreciate this person taking time to write it. Mm-hmm. Even if I don't agree with all their theological stances and all the things that I found after kind of looking at the background of the who wrote it or whatever, I appreciate them. And, you know, they're serving the Lord in the best of their capacity. And I'm grateful for them. And I'm grateful that they would take time to try to encourage pastors to be realistic about some of the things they're going to face. So we don't have to agree with all of it, but we certainly appreciate that someone took the time to do that. And we certainly appreciate that you take time to listen to us every week. And we're so grateful for you, our listeners. And we hope you'll share this. We hope you'll give us a great review on the listening format that you choose to listen to us. And we know that most of you listen on iTunes, but there are other formats out there. So we're grateful for all that you do. I'm grateful for your service in your church. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for filling in the gaps there. And we pray and hope that you will have a long and enduring ministry. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week.